Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this very first day of December 2020. And today is day number 2 of our 2-day discussion with Reverend Jeff Thomas. I love the fact that we have started a tradition with Jeff where when he comes on this program, we schedule him for 2 days in a row. I really love that. And yesterday was the first day. Today is the final day, at least for now. Of course, we'll try to get him back on in the near future for 2 days in a row. But today we are addressing a growing in grace, God-breathed counsel from Peter's final words in 2 Peter. And Reverend Jeff Thomas, beginning in 1965, served for over 50 years as pastor of Alfred Place Baptist Church in Aberystwyth, Wales. He is very well known to those who know and love the Banner of Truth, because he has written for the Banner of Truth and has also spoken at many Banner of Truth conferences. And he has been not only published by Banner of Truth, but also by Reformation Heritage Books. And we will be providing those websites so you can find out more about Jeff's books from them later on in the program. But it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back for day number 2 of our 2-day discussion, Reverend Jeff Thomas.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your warm words of welcome and the kindness and support. How this program, it seems long, 2 hours, and yet it flies by.
Amen. It sure does. And for those of you who are interested in finding out more about Alfred Place Baptist Church in Aberystwyth, Wales, even though our guest today is retired from the ministry there, his grandson is now the pastor there, and if you want more details, you can go to alfredplacechurch.org.uk. alfredplacechurch.org.uk. Well, if you want to, since this is a sequel, basically, from yesterday's program, perhaps if you could summarize what we discussed yesterday before we launch into these final words of Peter Second Peter.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. These are the last words of our loved ones. They're very precious to us, aren't they? And I remember hearing Ernest Kevin, who was the first principal of the London Bible College 70 years ago, and he said how his father was a godly man, and that his last words were, "The great truths of the gospel I have believed all my life, I believe them yet." And it's lovely to die with that assurance that one's kept the faith. And here then at the end of 2 Peter, he's given us 8 chapters of wonderful teaching. And then he ends saying, "Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." He says that because I know the single greatest moment in the life of any human being is when he becomes a Christian, and that's what we looked at yesterday, that moment when his whole position is radically and irreversibly altered. His heart is renewed. His prospects are completely changed. Three things I stressed. Firstly, he's given complete forgiveness of all his sins, the minor sins, the sins of omission, the great vile sins, all forgiven. Then secondly, he's given a new status. He's made a child of God. He's adopted into the family of God. He is joined to Jesus Christ. He's put in Christ forever and ever. He is part of the body of Christ, and the body and the head can't be separated from one another. And then thirdly, he's given then a wonderful provision. God supplies all his needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And we looked at that. And the decisiveness, the momentousness of that particular change. That's where we ended with our joy and wonder yesterday.
And the reason that you, the primary reason that you wanted to specifically address Peter's final words today, they're basically his marching orders to the church, aren't they?
They are that, Chris, yes. Because from what I've said, that's only the beginning of our soul's salvation. When we go just as we are to him, just as he is the loving, welcoming Savior, that's not the completion of the work of redemption. It's the first step. We are said goodbye to the city of destruction, and we're on pilgrimage. And we're traveling through many dangers, toils, and cares to the celestial city. And we are facing all the struggles of the Christian journey as we move to the New Jerusalem and all the obligations that form our new life in Christ. And that is emphasized in so many ways in Scripture, isn't it? Our lives are compared to a marathon race. Compared to a war. It's the process that's begun for us, and all that is at the back of Peter's mind in this text. And the seed has been, the acorn of grace has been sown, but all that oak tree of glory must grow and grow and be very, very fruitful. And we must see it. That's why we have this great directive. Now, you grow in grace. It's an imperative that's addressed to every single believer for the last 2,000 years. That every day we should be making progress in the Christian faith. You keep growing. That's what he says in grace. You see to it that there's no stagnation. You see to it that there's continued progress day by day in the great life of Christian discipleship. And so I want to just seize that theme and isolate these words and reflect upon them for a little. And to begin by asking what the apostle means by this directive. Grow in Christ's graciousness and Christ's knowledge. That's what he's saying, isn't it? We see gracious people. I mean, the folk on television who present the news and edit morning programs, and a man and a woman, and they are so tender and witty and thoughtful and gracious people when they interview people who come there. I don't know if many of them are Christians at all, but they have a graciousness of manner. That's not what Peter is speaking of here. He is speaking of growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. A graciousness which is molded and shaped and suffused with the Spirit of Jesus Christ, so that you grow in this way, his love, his joy, his peace, how fair, how holy, how kind he is, and that we are plugged into that, and we are receiving grace for grace day by day. Let your graciousness be controlled by your knowledge of Jesus Christ and his grace. You know, graciousness includes sweetness and gentleness and attractiveness of character and loveliness and meekness, interest in other people. It means all of these. But it means more, Chris, doesn't it? It means something more majestic. What is a gracious character? What would be the symptoms of becoming from day to day more gracious? If we're praying to God now, listening to this message, and we're saying, oh, I'm poor, I wish I had grown more in grace. What is it that makes us more gracious? What exactly are we praying for? And I want to open up maybe four or five elements to begin with, as to what I mean by this.
Great. And let me just give our listeners our email address first, and in the event that they'd like to join us on the air with their own question, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And you may continue, brother.
The first thing I think growing in grace would show itself as is a genuine, progressive, growing concern for the needs of others. I think that's the first thing. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know, you listen to some Christians and some Christian communicators, and it's all about themselves in the minutest details. You are to love your neighbor as you love yourself. So you're not interested in you, but there is a genuine concern. So that, how is it with you? How is it with you, Chris? And can I help? Are there some fears? Are there some worries? What can I do? And in the congregation where you are a member, do you know where the struggles are, Chris, and where the doubts are? Do you know those who are close to giving up? And you say, well, the elders know. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. The minister knows. He doesn't know everything. We are concerned for others. Jesus spoke about a seed, a corn of wheat, and the choice that faces that corn of wheat. It can be put in a bottle on a mantelpiece above the fire with a cork in the top of it year after year, and it abides alone there. Or it can die. That is, it's buried. And it changes. There's a metamorphosis, and it produces much fruit. And that choice faces everyone. Am I number one? Does everything revolve around me? Must everybody be interested in me? There was a famous convert to the Roman Church, Evelyn Waugh, a great writer. And in 1945, bananas arrived when the war ended, and he had three, and he brought them to the table, and there was his son and daughter. They'd never seen a banana before. And he got his knife out, and he cut it open, and he cut pieces off it, and he ate one banana, and the children looking. And then he came to the second banana, and he cut the end off, and he tore the skins away, and he ate the second banana. The children looking on, astonished. And then thirdly, he did the same thing with the third man. He ate the lot. The greedy blighter ate the lot. Well, there are Christians who are keen to tell you everything about their blessings and what they've achieved, but they don't seem to be interested in others. They're not denying themselves and taking up their cross. Like Jesus, he laid down his life. He laid down his reputation. And he humbled himself. And I'm to be like him. Has grace constrained me to give my life for others? Well, how is it? How is it with you and me? Do we have a growing concern for us? At meal times, now, do you notice when you have visitors in and friends in, can you help them? Can you serve them? Do you need anything? Can you pass anything to them? When you go into a room, do you immediately hurry to the comfiest chair? What concern is there for others? When you're driving a car, do you let others come in? Do you wave to them? Do you give them the benefit of the doubt for mistakes? When there are family choices, your wife, does she have an input into the choices? Your children, do you ask them? Are you interested in them? In your congregation? It's a very sad life if it's centered on you. And the Christian develops a mindset of a servant. I am here to serve. I'm to be thoughtful and considerate and concerned for others, like the Lord Jesus Christ was. And so that's the first thing I want to say would be a mark of growing in grace. It would be that you really are interested and know about and concerned for others. And then there's a second thing growing in grace involves, and that is a growing progress in knowledge. I can take that in the simplest possible sense, a literal mental grasp with our minds of the teaching of the Bible, Holy Scripture. And it may seem very elementary, and yet it is absolutely basic. The first thing that believers put on is the girdle of truth. And the first thing they must attend to in terms of spiritual growth is progress in their grasp of the truth, their familiarity with the teaching of the Bible, with the system of Christian doctrine, with the catechism. And it's all very well to talk of all the perils of a dead orthodoxy. It's a real peril. There are people, and their interest in truth is not interest in the great foundational doctrines, but they're interested in the conundrum of theology. And let's avoid that. There are others, you know, their interest is in the great controversial doctrines that divide believers. They're only interested in the doctrines that men fight about and disagree about. And let's watch that spirit, too. But we are bound as Christians to make conscience of growing in our grasp of the contents of the revelation of God. God has taken such great pains to give us a word and a revelation that we can understand. And it's our obligation entirely to use that revelation and soak ourselves in it and steep ourselves, marinate ourselves in the truth, so that they're utterly familiar to us. You know, every Christian should know intimately and readily the doctrines relating to the person of Jesus Christ. We should know of his deity and his humanity. We should know of his incarnation. We should know of his states, pre-existent, humiliation, exalted. We should know of his offices, prophet, priest, king. We should know the great doctrines of God's sovereignty, of justification, of adoption, of sanctification. These are not intended for theologians and seminary staff. They are the stuff of believing meditation and doxology. They constitute that great body of truth that sanctifies. And if we are going to be growing Christians, we are going to be growing intellectually. We're going to be growing theologically. We're going to be growing in our grasp of the great foundational doctrines. And what's more, we're going to be growing in love for those doctrines and growing in our emotional response to those doctrines, that the Word of God lives in us and that we're moved by it. And as we are moved, then we see more the glory of the person of Jesus Christ, and we are stirred by all that we have come to understand about him, to gratitude and joy. It's Psalm 1, isn't it? Blessed is the man, happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law he meditates day and night. So that's the second great feature, that we grow in our apprehension of truth and our love for the truth, and our obedience, that we are doers of it. And we got to examine ourselves, even at a level as elementary as that. Are we growing in the most basic of all levels in connection with knowing Christian truths? Have we got a little library? Are there CDs we have? Are we on the web and going to those fine sites that are there because we love the truth?
And before we go to that third point, we'll go to our first station break. And if anybody would like to join us in the conversation with a question of your own, again, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. In fact, I think I'm going to ask you one question from a listener before we go to the break, and you could answer it when we come back from the break, and then after that you could continue with point number three of your discussion, of your theme. This is an anonymous listener who says, one of the things that gives me great grief and does not give me peace in the loss of a late spouse is that this late spouse was so wounded by someone many years ago in church that for over a decade she stopped going to church, and she departed from this earth having been someone who didn't enter the door of a church for over a decade, and I am fearful that she was not a true believer primarily because of that. Are my fears misplaced? Can I still have great hope and confidence she will be in glory waiting for me when I depart this earth? She never renounced Christ, and she remained a believer, but she refused to attend worship services. Now, I'll have you answer that when we come back.
Don't
go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details, details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And it just so happens that the founder of Solid Ground Christian Books also would share the vast majority of preciously held truths and beliefs that my guest, Jeff Thomas, holds to. Is that not right, brother?
Absolutely right.
And if anybody wants to look for the perfect gift for someone you love, whether they are a brother and sister in Christ or whether they are lost, remember, the finest in Christian literature is probably even more important for the lost. And God could use books that are solidly biblical to draw the lost to himself and save them. So whether your friends and loved ones are saved or lost, go to solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com. Please do most or all of your Christmas shopping there, and whatever other occasion you are purchasing books. For loved ones, like your children who are away at college, or for birthdays, for wedding anniversaries, for retirement gifts, for baptism gifts, no matter what the occasion is, even if somebody's grieving over the loss of a loved one, go to solid-ground-books.com and always mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And before we go to point three of our discussion of growing in grace, Jeff, you may recall that before the break, an anonymous listener was very, very depressed and grieving because he fears his wife, who has passed, is not saved because for over a decade she did not go to church, even though she never stopped professing belief in Christ. She never renounced her faith. It had something to do with being wounded by someone, I'm assuming emotionally, in church, and she just could not get over that and never returned. Should that be something that absolutely convinces this man that his wife is lost?
What phantoms we are as Christians. Oh, dear, how we can take offense, and a root of bitterness can go down and down. It's so sad. And then she was wrong to stop going. She should have. She shouldn't have given up on them because God hadn't given up on her. There have been people who've just not found a church home. Arthur Pink is the great example of this, a wonderful man of God, and yet there on that island through the war years, a Gaelic-speaking community, and he felt alone and failed then to overcome those feelings of resentment. A wonderful, helpful Christian author. So we don't know what goes on in our loved ones' lives and how the last years they have spent and their relationship with the Lord. And so we do know that the Lord's justice will totally satisfy us. There'll be no bitterness on the day of judgment of anything that he decides. We will be totally at peace with what he decides about everyone. And so, you know, look to the future like that, the vastness of his mercy, and be at peace.
Amen. And Christ's blood paid the penalty for all the sins of the elect, and that would even include something like that.
Yeah, it would indeed.
Like neglecting the assembling of the brethren. So we will pray for our dear brother listening anonymously, and that he comes to a perfect peace over the situation. Yeah. I'll take one more question, and then we'll go to point three of your topic. We have Murray in Kinross, Scotland, who asks, would the first point Jeff Thomas made of caring for others be based on Peter's encouragement, be a lesson Peter himself learned from our Lord, feed my lambs, tend my sheep?
Very good. Yes, certainly that. That's a brilliant introduction of those three responses. Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me more than these? Do you really love me, Peter? And if you do, you show it in your concern for the lambs and the sheep. You are concerned for others. Thank you very much for sending that in. I'll make a note of that and make sure that if ever I speak these words again, and that I'll remind them of John 20, John 21, and the Lord Jesus challenging Peter.
Wow, Murray, what a privilege to know that Jeff Thomas is going to use one of your illustrations in his next sermon on this subject. By the way, have you ever been to Kinross, Scotland, where our listener is from?
I don't think so.
Well, brother,
there's time.
I'm sorry, brother?
There's time for me to do it yet, isn't there? I'm right at the south of the country and down in London. But we're all under so many hindrances with COVID-19, and I'm not moving around as much as I have. I've got no plans to go to Scotland yet, but that can change in a phone call.
And by the way, Murray, I happen to have fallen in love with haggis. my former pastor at Grace Baptist Church, who took a call to North Preston Evangelical Church in the Northern England.
Yes.
David Campbell. He told me how much he loved haggis, so I just had to try it, and I ordered it. I ordered it from a company in New Jersey, of all places, called the Scottish Gourmet, and I love the way they made it anyway. But thank you for listening, Murray, and keep spreading the word about the program in Kinross, Scotland, and beyond. Okay, if we could now pick up at point three of your discussion, brother.
Yes, I've got these 5 points. What are the marks of growing? And then I've got to close then. 3 exhortations that will help us to grow in grace. That's, in my mind, if we'll get time to go through them. But that's how I see the next hour developing. Okay, the third point, growing in conscientiousness. That is, growing in our responsiveness and obedience to our consciences. We have within us God's great monitor of our conduct. How is it between us and our consciences? Are we infinitely particular about paying attention to what these consciences say? Are we careful to educate those consciences? Because, you know, our conscience can be darkness. There are many Christian consciences, which Thomas Boston's phrase is so funny, too pernickety, he said. And they condemn what God's word does not condemn. And we must educate that conscience. And there are other consciences that they let everything pass. They let pass what God's word condemns. They're less sensitive than they should be. They're much too broad, too open. And so our conscience must stand constantly under the scrutiny of God's word, constantly corrected, so that it commends what God commends. It condemns what God condemns. Let's suppose we've enlightened our conscience. What allegiance do we show to those consciences? Are we careful to obey it when we are emotionally disinclined? When we lie, as we sometimes do in the depths of depression? When we wallow in self-pity? When we know there's a duty to attend to, but it's very unpleasant and very unattractive, very unwelcome? Have we the maturity to stand on our emotions and in the face of our reluctance and aversion to attend to what God commands us to do when we are emotionally totally disinclined? There's no greater peril in the Christian life than to make our emotions the touchstone of our duties. That is, to wait for the moment of inspiration before we pray, before we do what God commands us to do. When we say to ourselves, well, I couldn't be expected to witness. I couldn't be expected to pray at a time like this. And time and again, we have to stand at ourselves and insist that although we lie virtually on the emotional floor of despondency and depression, pick yourself up. Attend to what God commands us to do. Are we conscientious in the face of emotional disinclination, in the face of the tremendous obstacles and difficulties that providence may often place in the way of doing our duty? Are we conscientious, again, in small things? It's one of the surest signs of growing in grace that we pay careful attention to matters of detail in the Christian life. And the Lord's highest commendation falls upon men who are faithful in little things. And it's at that point, so often, that we're losing this particular struggle. It might not at 11 o'clock on Sunday, or on Tuesday or Wednesday night at 7:30, only a small thing, to attend certain meetings, only a small thing, to write certain letters, only a small thing, to keep certain promises. Yet it's in these small things that our graciousness, our growth, is being severely tested. And we must learn to make conscience of these things. So, one, concern for others. Two, knowledge. And three, conscientiousness.
Great, and we'll have you pick up on 4 and 5 after our middle break. I just have another question from a listener. We have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who says, I keep hearing from preachers and pastors and even just your ordinary Christians who are not Reformed that we who are Calvinists are wrong by constantly bringing up things that are theologically deep in sermons and when we evangelize, such as the doctrines of Calvinism. And I have constantly responded to them that if you want your hearers to grow in grace, that they should not be kept dumb by an infantile presentation of the Scriptures, but they have to have something to reach for. Now, I understand fully that there is a time and place to bring up things like unconditional election, and that it is not perhaps the main focus of attention during every time that we evangelize the lost, especially. But at the same time, I'm very opposed to this idea of dumbing down messages, treating everybody in the room as if they are spiritual infants. And I think that we have to, in order for them to grow in grace, give them the meat of the word. Now, if you could respond to that, listener, before we go to our break.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I agree, of course, entirely with what this brother has said. I think a lot of worship and a lot of speaking is addressed to an imagined person who doesn't know anything, as though he didn't live in a world in which God spoke to us, where there had been great grace in the past, which has influenced people so that they know much more than they profess that they know. And I do believe that when we look at the Bible, here is Rome. And Rome has been devoid of the Christian faith. And some Christians had gone there. It wasn't the Apostle Paul. And they had preached there and they'd built a church. And that church was one which could receive 16 chapters of the letter to the Romans, 11 chapters of the deepest, highest, richest doctrines. They were beggars. They were illiterates. They were soldiers. They were women. They were slaves. And yet, by our walk with God, by the blessing of the Holy Spirit, by the companionship of Jesus Christ, Paul could confidently write this letter, which was read to the people there, and they would memorize it and learn it off by heart. And that was one of the reasons why the Roman Empire dissolved and the emperors were no more. But the preachers of the gospel filled that empire from Scandinavia down to North Africa by the preaching of the word and by godly living and by a life of prayer. And that's what we ask for preachers. And thank God that's what we can get and hear these days in many places.
Amen. And I find it interesting that Jesus Christ himself, he actually was not all that concerned that he maintain large, massive groups of followers. And he very often thinned out the herd, if you will, by saying things that were very unpopular. And that would include something we who are Calvinists uniquely believe in the church today. I'm not even sure how non-Reformed people interpret this, but in John chapter 6, as you may recall, we have a scene where, let's see, I think it's in verse 50. Let's go back even further than that. He says in 57, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood is eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, "Does this cause you to stumble? What then, if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life, and the flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life, but there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe, and who it was that would betray them. And he was saying, "For this reason, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father." That's the verse that is uniquely Calvinistic. I don't know how Arminians interpret that, or eisegete that, or should I say exegete that. And then, as a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. So even though Jesus knew that that would turn people away, that deep truth of that no one comes to Jesus unless it is granted to them of the Father, from the Father, even though he knew that would turn people away, he preached it anyway. But we're going to our midway break right now, and if anybody would like to join us on the air, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. This is a longer than normal break, so please be patient with us because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because the FCC requires of them to localize this program to Lake City, Florida, so they air their own public service announcements and other local things while we air our globally heard commercials. So please be patient, and we'll be right back with Jeff Thomas after these messages from our sponsors. Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more.
Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ.
In fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Chris Aronson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Aronson and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. You, I have to say, you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptlbiblerebinding.com. That's ptlbiblerebinding.com.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Thrivent Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
Faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics in Islam at the Toronto Baptist Seminary, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jeff Downs of Knox Reformed Presbyterian Church in Mechanicsville, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mark Grimaldi of Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Scott Pasolo of the Master's Church of Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kevin Vigneault of the Bible Church of Port Washington, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church in St. Augustine, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Clint Leiter of Highway M Chapel, Sedalia, Missouri, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Welcome back. And before we return to our guest, Jeff Thomas, to discuss growing in grace, just have a couple of announcements. First of all, folks, if you love this show and you don't want us to disappear from the airwaves, I'm urging you, please, to go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, an address, a physical mailing address, will appear on the screen where you can mail a check made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Eagerly look forward to hearing from you with your financial support. We are in urgent need. We have been hit very hard during the hysteria associated with the coronavirus pandemic. And that is because many of our listeners who faithfully gived had to give less or cut back giving altogether because of their businesses, their own businesses and livelihoods being so negatively affected. Also, some of our advertisers have cut back. So we are in more urgent need for your financial help than ever. Please help us if you even care about us remaining in existence. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. I thank all of you who have been faithfully given. Some of you have increased your giving. Some of you are new givers, new donors to this program. I thank each and every one of you for whatever it is you have been contributing to keep this program on the air. I can't even explain to you how much I am blessed to know that you think so highly of the show, that you want it to remain on the air, that you would share your own hard-earned money, a portion of that, to help us remain in existence. So please know that I thank you and thank God for you in ways too deep and great to describe in the English language. And remember, folks, that website is ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. Please, if you want to advertise with us, we could always use your advertising dollars. Send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. As long as whatever it is you are promoting is compatible with what we believe, then I will gladly help you launch an ad campaign because we are in urgent need of your advertising dollars. And please remember, I don't want anybody siphoning money away from their regular giving that they're accustomed to their own local church where they are a member, in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. In other words, don't punish your church financially by blessing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Please also do not put your family in very serious financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio if you are really struggling to survive and make ends meet. Those two things are commands of God, to provide for your church and your family. Providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God, but if you love the show, you want us to stick around, and you do have extra funds to keep us on the air, then please help us with those funds. Please, I don't mind you cutting out a portion of your recreational funds, the things that you don't require in your life, or if you have an abundance of savings. I just ask if you please help us, because we are in urgent need. And go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, I can help you, God willing, find a church no matter where you live on the planet Earth. I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world, and I've helped people in all parts of the globe find churches near where they live that are biblically sound, sometimes right around the corner from where they live. And I can help you too, God willing. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line, and God willing, I'll be able to help you find a church soon. And that's also the email address. You can send in a question to Jeff Thomas. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. And Jeff, if you could pick up on your fourth point in this discussion.
My fourth point is in this matter of growing in grace, what it means. Fourthly, it means growing in victory over besetting sins. And that's a great reality of our Christian lives, that so often we are held in the grip of a particular spiritual abnormality. And if we are growing, then it means victory over those besetting sins. Now, the great problem is this: it's perfectly possible to be virtually completely normal in our Christian lives, in our emotions, in our affections, in our will. Everything seems to be in order, except at one point. We're in the grip of one temptation. We're being dominated by one lust. We're being entangled in the meshes of one particular sin. Now, we can find in the world around us, we can find men who suffered from what is known as monomania, a perfectly sane in every area of their lives except in the area of one detail. And there are Christians in the same position. Indeed, I'm sure we all know what it is to be in that position, to be in the grip of one particular sin. And we may say to ourselves, there's something very mysterious about this fact, that I'm not growing? Is it so mysterious? Haven't we need to ask, is the reason why I'm not growing is that my spiritual life is diseased? Because I can look at this part of my life and that part of my life, no signs of disease. We can say to ourselves, out of 100 components of our Christian lives, 99 parts are in perfect working order. And yet, there's a disease in one part. And it's vitiating and corrupting the whole. And all our resources must be directed to the elimination of that, to victory over that particular sin. It's a matter for your conscience and mine. Is there such a phenomenon in my life? And if there is, what is it? Whatever it is, it's going to prevent my progress. This diseased area, this part of my spiritual life, which is completely out of joint,
and I have to deal with it. I must deal with this besetting sin, because I'm not going to grow except as I grow by the elimination of those things: worldliness, prayerlessness, irritability, ego, impatience, aggressiveness, what have you. I must deal with this besetting sin. So that's the fourth way in which we are to grow in grace.
We have another listener who has a question for you before we go to the fifth point. Let's see here. I was just looking at it a moment ago. here. RJ in White Plains, New York. RJ asks, do you think that it is a failure to force someone to grow in grace when they experience and demonstrate great pride and arrogance and short-temperedness with their brethren, even if they have mastered the contents of theology and doctrine in the scriptures? They may even know many portions of scripture by heart. They may be brilliant and they may be great orators, but they have failed in these key areas of life that were very perfectly demonstrated in the life of our Lord Jesus: humility and patience and compassion and love.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the meek. That's how the happy attitudes, the Beatitudes, that's how they begin. And you are describing a phenomena that I believe is rare amongst the people of God, but that it does exist. You could call it dead orthodoxy. I don't know whether it is orthodoxy at all, but there's a deadness there that has failed to mortify the sin that so easily besets us, and that's the sin of pride and self-elevation. And that's got to be dealt with, or there's going to be little fruit and little usefulness in the service of our Savior.
Yeah, and unfortunately, from what I have heard from many in the body of Christ, that is not all too uncommon to see those things demonstrated even in the lives of very well-known and highly respected brothers who are authors and conference speakers, and we could go on and on with the many things they've accomplished. It's sad when humility is lacking in folks like that. And it seems like a very rare thing when you have somebody that is extremely gifted and humble, like you, brother. Like, yeah, I think that you demonstrate both of those sides of the coin very well. I don't mean to swell your head, but
you
that's
don't know
true.
Me.
Okay, if you could go on with the fifth point now.
My last point, my fifth point on progress then, growing in grace, is growing in evangelistic earnestness. You know, the young convert, such a great sense of the love of God and the greatness of his deliverance. Such a sense of the world's need and a controlling awareness that Christ is a great Savior. A man, a young man, a young Christian, a flame for God, who wants to speak the word for Christ. And yet, what happens so often is that the more mature of us, we smile, may even sneer in cynicism, and we look at what we think are the evidences of immaturity. And, of course, so much of it was immature. So much of the witness was unwise and indiscreet, ineffectual, and even carnal. And yet, does that justify the fact that as many Christian lives mature, the vision of the world's lostness disappears? Concern to say a word, to nail your colors up for Christ, disappears. That is a maturity we would be far without. It's come to a situation in many places where so often it's expected that only the young will be engaged in this work. And the young are not the people for it. They haven't the wisdom, they haven't the experience, they haven't the equipment. They're great helpers, but they're not leaders. And as we grow, we are to ask ourselves, are we growing here? I've got to ask myself, and you've got to ask yourself, Chris, is it with you as once it was, in terms of evangelistic concern? And I've got to ask, am I as prepared as I used to be to get involved in every evangelistic course? Am I prepared to support it? Am I prepared to pray, to give, to cooperate, to involve myself in the labor of personal evangelism? Am I concerned to say a word for Jesus as the opportunity affords itself? Now, there's no question, but in the church today, there's a great deal of misplaced evangelism, a great deal of misdirect and blind and unbiblical zeal. And we have absolutely no right simply to stand back from it in criticism. We have the right only to involve ourselves in biblical evangelism. And it's a sad day for any Christian, for me, for you, if that vision is gone. The vision that beheld the city and that wept over it. So, progress, growth in grace implies many things. I've highlighted five. The growing concern for others. The growing knowledge of the Bible. A growing conscientiousness, obeying what our consciences tell us, growing victory over the sin that troubles us and besets us and weakens us, and growing evangelistic earnestness. And that is what I believe Peter's great concern at the end of his writing life was about.
Praise God. Let's see, we do have some listeners waiting to have their questions asked and answered by you still. We have Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, and Ronald says, since grace is unmerited favor, and it is something bestowed upon us by God due to his own good pleasure, how can we grow in grace with our own activity? Even as Calvinists, is there not something that we can do to help ourselves grow in grace? I am not saying anything, I believe, that violates the doctrines of sovereign grace or Reformed theology, but after all, we are not hyper-Calvinists, and we do believe that God uses his people to be involved in their own sanctification, if I am correct.
You are absolutely correct, and I want to close the next half hour by bringing three answers to the question, how can this be achieved? How can we grow in grace? And I'll then more comprehensively, if you will be patient and keep listening, I will give you some thoughtful answers to this great question that you've asked me.
Great. And I have another anonymous listener, and it sort of dovetails on a previous question, I believe. But this anonymous listener says, I was wondering what you think about a decision I made not long ago to leave a church that I agree with nearly 100% theologically and doctrinally, to a church where I do have to go to a church that I do have more disagreement with, but the leaders are more tender-hearted, humble, compassionate, and loving shepherds. I know that I should not just go where I feel good and that kind of thing,
but it was such an overwhelming burden upon my heart and the other church where I was that it stunted my growth in Christ and left me in a constant state of depression. Please give me some counsel and give me some thoughts on my decision.
Oh, my brother, what a dilemma. Two alternatives that you were confronted with. One, orthodoxy, but tension and a feeling of barrenness and that you were not growing. In another, a more shallowness of a presentation of historic, confessional, biblical Christianity, and weak there. And that's a sober thing, because we need that kind of Christianity to be laid upon us week after week, and to encourage and build us up week after week. But here, the presentation of the Christian faith, it was, they were baby Christians. They were sweet, they were tender. You felt there was a possibility of some growth there, that they would blossom. And you went there with some wisdom and some patience, that you would give them some tapes when you got to know them, some CDs, I mean, and some books, and you would tell them about certain broadcasts that they would find helpful, and you would seek in every way to build on the spirituality of those in leadership. And you would be wise then explaining to the men there in that leadership and be open with them what you were doing, and you didn't want to undermine their place in the church, but that you wanted to see then a deeper, a stronger grasp of the Christian message. And the Lord bless you in doing that. They'll miss you in your old church, and I pray that you'll be a blessing in the one you've gone to.
Amen. And I assume that you would agree that it would be very wise for him to even communicate very honestly and clearly with the leaders of the former church. Who knows? They may repent of anything that they were truly guilty of. We don't know this person who has anonymously sent in this question, and it could be, and believe me, listener, I'm not saying that this is the case, but it could be that you misunderstood some things. But if you certainly were a victim of harshness and cruelty or indifference or whatever the case was, don't you think, Jeff, that that is certainly a different thing than somebody who leaves a biblically sound church just to go to another one because they like the music and they like to be entertained?
Oh, yeah, that sort of thing. That's hopeless. But, you know, a man I greatly admired left to Westminster Chapel, left Dr. Lloyd-Jones, and he told me, well, I've had 5 years of his ministry. It's been wonderful. But I think I want more now. I've had all that Dr. Lloyd-Jones can give me, and he told me the church he was going to is a really fine church and a fine minister, and that's how he felt. He felt a restlessness then, and I couldn't say, no, you must stay. God has compassion on us, doesn't he? And I don't know all that that man was going through, but he certainly wasn't going for a superficial reason. He was going because his soul longed for more than he was getting at the present time. And I think that's probably the one justification. If you haven't got a place of responsibility and you're not a linchpin holding a church together, then you can go.
Well, thank you, brother, for that. And we're going to go to our final break. It's going to be a much more brief break.
If you want to join us on the air with a question of your own, please do it quickly because we are rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least. City and state and country of residence, if you live outside the USA, only remain anonymous if it's a question that is about a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Jeff Thomas after these messages.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Brandon Scalf of Cruciform Bible Church in Indianapolis, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chris Hatton of Grace Chapel in Sanford, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Jack Wilkie, minister of the Forney Church of Christ in Forney, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mike Wachowski of Westminster Chapel in Ball Ground, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Cooley of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston, Massachusetts, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brock Evans from Wading River Baptist Church in Wading River, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Lasser of Crestview Baptist Church in Big Spring, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buda Fuoco and Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jansen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Ironson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Welcome back. And Jeff Thomas, if you could now begin with some points of application on how we can grow in grace.
Yes. Yes, I have three exhortations to encourage us to achieve these things. Firstly, it must be our priority. It's the greatest thing in our lives. God is the greatest thing in our whole lives. There's nothing more important than our relationship with Him. It's not something for which we find time in the midst of other engagements, other preoccupations, other concerns. Our relationship with God controls our lives. It's built around. Our lives are built around Him. And our greatest longing is to fit ourselves for the service of our God. This one thing I do, said the Apostle Paul. He said, to me to live is Christ. So all of us listening to this program have got to look at ourselves and ask, is it one thing that the years have done to change my scale of values and my sense of priorities? It's terribly easy to react against what one may call extreme religionism. A person who will talk about religion and won't talk about anything else. There's something unbiblical in that. But there's a far greater peril than that. And that is the reduction of religious aspirations, their demotion, their relegation. So that then they're not primary. They don't control our lives. We look back at what we were and we laugh and mock ourselves. We thought we knew everything then. We say it's a great mistake. It's a great sadness. And things that should be secondary. Our business and our family and politics. Those things become more and more important to us. And we're not going to grow unless these five things are a priority for us. And I think in recent years that slackness and sloppiness has come into every area of evangelical Christianity. We're no longer prepared to say with Paul, for to me to live is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we've got to be restorers of these priorities and to say that our chief end is the glory of God. And if you don't, you know, you face a most hopeless and appalling future. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing, if you are to grow in grace, you must always remember your religious lives are not going to take care of themselves. You can't say to your soul, okay, soul, look after yourself now, provide for yourself. You have to see to it, as Peter says, that you're growing. That applies to every form of life. You've got a garden. Your plants need nutrients and cultivations. You've got indoor plants, and you ask a member of your family or a neighbor if while you're away on vacation, they'll nourish, they'll water. And our intellectual lives can grow only by what we're reading, what we store in our minds, how we exercise our intellectual faculties. Our bodies won't look after themselves. Our minds won't look after themselves and our souls. There must be a deliberate concern, a program of care, of detailed, meticulous provision, or we're not going to grow. We are reading scripture. We are praying. There's the personal growth in grace. And then there is Sunday services, sitting under the best ministry we can hear. There are people, Peter says in verse 17 of this chapter, they're being led away with the error of the wicked. They're neglecting their souls, they're forgetting about it, and they're becoming worldly. There's two ways of destroying a building. You can put a bomb inside and blow it up, or you can take it down brick by brick. And that's how the devil works. And we just say, well, it won't matter so much if I give up this, or if I don't do that any longer, or if I'm not serious about this. And we've been carried away by the world. You're neglecting your soul. You'll end up with a form of godliness, but denying its power. John's terrible problem. They went out from us because they were not of us. They fell into apostasy. And that's the great thing then. Churches like that. And so I must look after my soul. I mustn't be so busy, so preoccupied, proving I'm not a Puritan. I'm not narrow-minded. I'm not hard. I'm a person who believes in Christian liberty and freedom of conscience, and we are spending far too much time trying to show that we're not all that unworldly, and it would be well for us if some of that energy were being poured into the great, fascinating undertaking of putting our spiritual lives together. So it must be our priority. And then we must be aware that our souls won't look after themselves. And then I have a third and final principle, and I have to make every effort. Verse 14, be diligent. NIV, make every effort. And that diligence, where do we find it? Seeking food for your souls. Searching for the truth which can nourish you, the sincere milk of the word. Fall in love with the Bible again. Learn to search it. Learn to ransack it and hunger and thirst for the truth and for good preaching. And fall in love with talking about it amongst ourselves, meditating on scripture about every point of view. The soul isn't going to grow without food, and there is no food for the soul like the Word of God. And then we're going to seek the face of God. We want to be like God. We want to go into His presence. You seek in every way to be sure of the grace that God has shown to you, and grow in community with your fellowship, with the mysterious influence that one Christian has over another. That's the way that faces us. That's the way ahead. for our souls, seek the face of God, seek with diligence the society and fellowship of our brethren, seek the blessing of God upon all the means of grace, because all the reading and Bible studies and church attendance will not avail unless God blesses us.
Amen. We have another listener. We have Christian in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania. Christian asks, do you think it might be a good idea to ask those that we know and love very well, who we witness as being those that have grown very much in grace and truth and are among the finest Christians that we know, the question as to whether or not they think we have grown in grace since the days that they have known us, and also, when should we be bold enough to comment to a dear friend or loved one that they are lacking in that growth?
Yeah, oh, how wise we have to be in this field of interpersonal relationships, don't we? Especially the gentle answer, the gracious rebuke, the suggestion, perhaps this might help you, how we say it, and bring it to God and pray much about it and ask him to help you, because we are so sensitive. I'm sensitive. And we do need help in that area. The Lord give you much wisdom in that area. Let me say, as I close, my wife is having a hip replacement on Saturday, and we were going to go and stay with my daughter. And yesterday, my daughter called and she says, she's 48. My daughter, I've got coronavirus and my husband, and you can't come to our house.
Wow.
So we've been frantic now, working on something else. Where can we stay so that I deliver her to the hospital at 7:30? It's 100 miles away. And you pray for me that my wife will have a really successful hip replacement. Everyone says how useful those operations are. And she'll be in hospital for 5 days. And I'm not allowed, because of coronavirus, to visit her. And that you'll pray for my third daughter, that she'll recover well from the coronavirus, and her husband, who's got it too.
Amen. Dear listeners, please pray for all of those items that are dear brother Jeff has brought to you very honestly and openly, and I will do the same. And Jeff, if you could just briefly, there is one part of the question you didn't address about us asking others about how we have grown in grace. Is that a wise idea?
Well, it depends on the person, isn't it? Some people love us so much, they think the world of us, and they will say, oh, you mean so much to me, and so on. And then there are the other people. Who are you going to choose? These people are, they're not very close to us. And are you going to ask them to give their opinion of you? I would find that a very difficult question, a very difficult decision to come to. And I'm hoping that my preacher every Sunday is going to bring those challenges to me, and that he will encourage me, but he will also, Christian, the Bible is profitable for rebuke and instruction, correction in righteousness, and may it be like that for you next Sunday.
Amen. And I want to repeat the websites that carry, that publish also, Jeff Thomas's books, banneroftruth.org, banneroftruth.org, and heritagebooks.org, heritagebooks.org. I want to thank you so much, Jeff Thomas, for always being such a wonderful guest. I look forward to your return. I want to thank everybody who listened, especially those who took the time to write. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.